Because if you keep real busy out here, then there's no opportunity to notice what's going on inside. Hence the compulsive workaholic type person, etc. There's just a fear of any kind of self-encounter. Because when we encounter ourself, when we take a good look, what's going on in there? It ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. And we may have some pretty cool beliefs. You know, we may have some pretty cool ideals. But if we just take a look, you know, if we had some kind of make-believe, invisible video camera that could just video our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions for one day. And then we're forced at the end of that day to sit down and watch that video. We'd be quite horrified. We'd be horrified at the range of thoughts and feelings and emotions and desires and aversions that we experience just in the course of 24 hours. All of which have to do with attachments to or aversions from things in the world. So the reason we don't know about Krishna, except kind of in the abstract, is because there's a whole bunch of stuff between our consciousness as it is and Krishna in our hearts. And some mystics go so far as to say that he's just waiting there for us to discover him. He's doing all he can, but the hearing the flute of Krishna, the flute of Krishna has been construed in different ways. It's even been compared to the F note in nature, which the ancient mystics used to talk about. They'd send their pupils out into nature where there might be wind blowing through trees or some kind of natural sounds occurring. And they'd have them just listen to the sounds. And if they could quiet down the restless mind and quiet down their emotions and quiet down their fears of the future and guilt about the past and just quiet all that down, and just listen to nature, they might hear what's called the F note of nature, which is the key in which Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony is written. So if you want to hear the F note, listen to that symphony sometime. And it's said that that F note of nature, it can be heard in big cities. It can be heard in nature. And it's a sound into which all other sounds are resolved. So that note, if one can hear it, is an aspect of the flute of Krishna. It points to something universal, something beyond the person. It said we don't hear it. Because again, we're listening for other things. Krishna says that the spiritual life, he characterizes himself as the goal of all spiritual endeavor. And if you wanted to substitute some other sage for Krishna, you'd be welcome to do so. But there's one reality, and it, when it was on earth, it called itself Krishna. And he says, whatever practice a person is doing, if they're doing it wholeheartedly, with devotion, it will be leading them toward Krishna. It might not lead them to Krishna, but it will be leading them toward Krishna. And it said that In the Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, it says the Bhagavad Gita outlines several paths towards knowledge of Krishna, or what they call Krishna consciousness, or in Christian language, Christ consciousness. It's all the same. If it all comes down to light, then the names you attach to the light are relatively irrelevant. Although there might be certain names that strike a given person as sacred, and those are the names that person should go with. Krishna says that knowing him is possible. It can be done, but it's extremely difficult. We all have been given. I mean, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, it's very short. I mean, this is it. Just this thick. You know, it's like in this little book, it's a little over 100 pages long. If you just read through it, it said you'd be benefited, even if you didn't understand a word, because you've come in contact with Krishna, who's everywhere. And the thing about Krishna that he says about himself is that he likes nobody and he dislikes nobody. In the philosophy, if you like, of the Bhagavad Gita, there are no sinners, and there are no saved, and there are no damned. So it's a difficult philosophy sometimes for Westerners to understand, who are used to thinking in terms of the saved and the damned and all this. Not to mention a male god who's doling out these rewards and punishments. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are no saved, there are no damned. What there are is human beings who stand in some relationship to ultimate reality, aka Krishna. And Krishna says that there are several paths to him that are quite direct, but there are many, many paths. We're talking now 5,000 years ago, he's saying these words. Quoting the Quran, which says, there are as many ways to God as there are breaths of the children of men. So every human child breathing in and out, that's how many ways to Allah there are, according to the Quran. And according to the Bhagavad Gita, human beings are going to find the way that suits their needs, their goals, their intentions, and their purposes, whatever that way be. And the thing they all have in common is they're all lit up by the same light, inner light. And Krishna makes it very clear that whatever religion you're in, whatever practice you're in, whatever scriptures you're reading, whatever benefits you're obtaining from any practice you're in, they're all from him. It's all Krishna. There is nothing else. The main problem in human existence is well, let's step back a step.